Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our spoiler-free review for Monkey Man. Do you remember me? Do you even know my mother's name? Do you know any of their names? Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast. My name is Nate, and this is our spoiler-free review for Monkey Man. Special thanks, as always, to our friends at Universal Pictures Canada for inviting us to watch this movie early for review. If you're joining us for the first time, we are Geekcentric, a podcast focusing on the world of movies, TV shows, video games, and all things geekcentric. Joining me for today's spoiler-free review, we've got my favorite animals ready to fight till the bloody end. In this corner of the ring, coming in at a towering 6'11", with all the hops, he's the conniving killer, Kevin the Kangaroo Hudson.
Let me tell you, if I jumped as high as I possibly could, I would not get close to 6'11". If you put me on stilts, I would not be 6'11" because I would instantly fall over. I'm about 6'2" and a half, I like that.
Yes. Okay. Listen, I'm not too good at the whole
measuring
thing.
But I do have a nice have a nice belly pouch, so it's all good.
Absolutely. Yeah, you put your baby in there sometimes? Yeah. And for your enjoyment, ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, we've got Kevin's own flesh and blood, his own brother, the dastardly, devious, and daring Darcy the Donkey Hudson.
Donkeys aren't devious. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I've seen some videos of some donkeys.
They could be a little devious.
That's any animal, any like horse or equine animal, I guess. Like, I don't know. It's not, donkeys don't scream devious to me. That's all I'm saying.
Darcy sees Eddie Murphy voice one donkey and he's like, don't ever pick on donkeys again, man.
Not just any depiction of donkey. They're always goofy and lazy. Not just, you know, Eddie Murphy from Shrek.
Listen,
words in my mouth.
Darcy, in the morning, we're making waffles. hopefully you guys are having a good time, better than you know, our main character in this movie that we're going to be talking about. But before we get to it, I think this movie is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, like, obviously, you know, we saw the Iron Claw. We saw the brutality of the fight scene in the WWE, which obviously is a very different fight scene than in this movie. But I feel like this movie is a little more gruesome than the WWE, at least on TV. Am I correct there?
Okay, well, you said correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Iron Claw is actually set in the world of the NWA.
Sorry, my apologies.
But that's fine. WWE is the go-to, and that's fine. We're talking about professional wrestling there.
Yeah.
This is a far more real and brutal world of fighting than what you would see in wrestling. While I will fight tooth and nail to the death about how wrestling might be staged, but it is far from fake. Mm-hmm. And while in this movie we might see fixed fights to a certain degree,
for sure,
for betting purposes, no, this is far more like your MMA style mixed martial arts. Like, these guys are legitimately beating
they're not pulling punches
out of each other.
Yeah.
This is not the craft of making it look like you're hurting the other person. This is trying to hurt the other person for the pure joy of a bloodthirsty crowd.
And, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't think either of you have experienced that, but as far as good old wrestling, like, Darcy, did Kevin ever teach you a thing or two about wrestling? Do you guys ever wrestle?
I mean, a lot of Kevin's friends can attest to this, but me and Kelly, when we were younger, we'd always go down when they were watching pay-per-views and try to reenact a lot of the moves ourselves. Mm-hmm. We got pretty good at a few of them.
Like, okay.
A power bomb's easy, a nice suplex every now and then. A lot of them are, again, they are easy to pull off, but to make them look good is the hard part.
Yeah.
Being 7 years older than my oldest younger brother, I always had such a size advantage that I would just throw those guys around like nobody's business.
He was the Andre the Giant to us.
Yes, exactly. But Kelly and I, we went to WrestleMania 22 in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I was 21, 22, which would put Kelly at about 13. And Kelly at 13 was about the size of an 8-year-old still at that time. And, you know, we were all amped for the big weekend, the big event, and we were, you know, wrestling in the room. And I did a move to him from one bed to the other, and we actually broke the bed in the hotel.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we've had some adventures.
Crazy. Well, you know, I was going to ask who would win in a fight between you guys, but I think the answer is a little obvious. I don't know. Sorry, Darcy.
I mean, size definitely comes into it. I'm not sure. I feel like I could hold my own now. I'm not 15 years old anymore, or 7, like Kevin was saying. So,
Darcy is stronger than me.
Okay.
So if he could land a few punches,
yeah,
he stands a chance. But I do think the size advantage.
Makes one connection, I think I'm going down. He's throwing bricks, like.
Okay. Well, listen, we're not going to put on any animal masks. Let's get to the synopsis for this movie. Oscar nominee Dev Patel achieves an astonishing tour de force feature directing debut with an action thriller about one man's quest for vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systemically victimize the poor and powerless. Inspired by the legend of Hanuman, an icon embodying strength and courage, Monkey Man stars Patel as Kid, an anonymous young man who ekes out a meager living in an underground fight club where night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he is beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, Kid discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him. The film stars Dev Patel, Sharlto Copley, Pito Bash, Vipin Sharma, Sikandar Kher, Adithi Kalkunti, Sobhita Dhulipala, Ashwini Kalsekar, Makarand Deshpand, Jatin Malik, and Zakir Hussein. Apologies if I mispronounce any of those. It's written and directed by Dev Patel, and it's in theaters March 5th, which is today, if you're listening to this, on the date of its release. So, guys, let's get into this. I'd like to talk about, you know, kind of what worked and what didn't for you for the movie. And I think we can start by maybe getting into the look and feel of the movie. You know, I think this movie gives us a very pointed look, like the description said, like the disparity and the contrast of the people of India, and it highlights the gap between the people who have the least and the people who have the most pretty effectively. And I think it sets us on this journey of a man who's, you know, had everything taken from him. It's sweaty, it's bloody, it's grimy. Obviously there's fight club sequences, but then we also witness the other side of it, right? We see the shiny, posh, neon light infused nightclubs. And you know, there's moments of chaos and peace as well in some of these forested moments where we get to see where kids sort of grew up. The movie, I think, does a good balance of kind of showing us all three sides of this guy's journey, at least as far as his surroundings are concerned.
Oh, it kind of felt like the grittiness of Fight Club meets that sort of polished look of an Ocean's 11,
mm-hmm.
kind of how the story weaves itself together. And then you get those almost dreamlike sequences that represent the flashbacks. We'll probably talk a bit more about those when it comes to pacing and whatnot. But yeah, it's almost impressive that Dev in his debut was able to very effectively capture three very distinct visual styles, and I will applaud him on that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think we were talking about it on the drive down, and the feeling just comes even stronger after leaving the film. But the Hotline Miami vibe, where it's mm-hmm. like following this like seedy underworld, it really captures like that perfectly. Again, the two sides to it, with the shiny glamorous side, and then the side that no one wants to talk about type thing. And again, the fact that this is his first time doing it, and he was so able to capture it perfectly. Again, like, you know exactly where you are in the world just based on how it looks and how it's moving around and stuff like that. It was so well done.
And you know, the talking about the shiny glamorous side, I mean, we're getting, yeah, we're seeing that, but it's also so clear we're seeing all the terrible, mm-hmm. horrible things that are sort of underneath that shiny exterior, that surface. And
that Taken, it was almost like Taken, you sure, know what I yeah. mean? Where it's like, look at these rich people who just do shitty, horrible things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, some of the moments are very, yeah, they're hard to, you know, stomach, at times, just because these, you know, again, a lot of this stuff is drawn from real world scenarios that happened and is currently, you know, still happening. You know, kind of touching upon the action, I think the fight sequences, they're fast paced, they're chaotic. At times they're messy, but in a way that follows the character, you know, our main character's arc. In a way, I think it does a good representation of that. I think, you know, you mentioned it, Kevin, like this guy gets the blood kicked out of him. Like, I wonder how he survives at times, sometimes in parts of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to watch a movie like this ever since the first John Wick. It's hard to see a revenge style action flick, mm-hmm. Where you're not just comparing it to John Wick. Is that kind of, is the new staple that everybody goes to in a film like this. But I think the film, just from a visual standpoint alone, does enough to make specifically those action sequences feel different enough from a movie like that, that it kind of works and it serves as its own film in a certain way. And I know you almost had you were saying afterwards, Nate, that you almost wish we could see
yeah.
more of that action and choreography, but I think it worked well with the story.
Mm-hmm. That's 100% what I was going to say, that these fight scenes easily lend themselves to the story and kids' growth throughout the film, where he starts off again, eking out that mere living, and then where he ends up by the end of the film. You can feel it almost every fight, how where he is and how he's moving on to that next step. And it's so well done. And by the end of it, you're getting those polished sequences that you're used to from a John Wick style, whereas at the beginning it's more clunky and clumsy because he is just that punching bag at the beginning. And that, again, the way that the visual style lends itself to that, his story and character growth, is just so wonderfully well done.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that for the most part. I still think, though, like throughout the entirety of the film, it's not one-sided at any point in time. You're still sort of on edge because he's not perfectly trained, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not at no point in time in the movie is he like a superhero. He is getting the crap kicked out of him at all points in time. And, you know, I think the choreography in this is absolutely rock solid. And I think, you know, shout out to Dev and the stunt team for being able to kind of execute and show combat where our main character does mess up. And when he messes up, he pays for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does. And I meant to touch on it when you mentioned it just a few seconds ago. You said, how is this person possibly surviving this?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you've been watching action films, you know, since the 70s or 80s, you're always going, how the hell is this guy yeah. still alive?
Yeah.
And at least in this movie, they do try to give an excuse for it, whether mm-hmm. you buy it, whether it works or not. They do at least try to be like, there's a purpose for mm-hmm. this. And, you know, so I was kind of okay with that. You always have to be, or there's no point in watching a lot of these action flicks.
Right.
But at least here they were like, they try to serve it into the bigger story of everything. So I did enjoy that.
And I think from an action perspective, there are definitely some sequences and some moments that will stand out from those others. And I think there is a very specific instance, and all I will say is it has to do with a knife. And when you watch the movie, you will absolutely know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Nate, you watch your mouth.
Yes, exactly. It is absolutely brilliant. And it's a sequence, a fight sequence that definitely will stay with me. And I think a lot of these sequences will.
I really, really enjoyed the action here. Again, it felt different enough from something like a John Wick that I really enjoyed it. I just wish there was more. I think they spent a bit too much time justifying the ends rather than giving us the means. You know,
okay.
like it was like I wanted to just see this guy. I knew why he was out there for revenge. I knew why he wanted to kick some ass.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we get? Maybe three really big fight sequences
right.
over the span of the movie. And I almost wish we had more, because when it was happening, I was enjoying it so much and it felt so good and he was so vindicated and it was justified. But they kept going back to like why it was justified. And I'm like, I get it, man. I'm good. This guy's my guy. I'm rooting for him. Like, he has every right to do whatever he wants. Stop telling me why. But that just goes to show how good those action sequences were, I think.
Yeah, I think the last thing that I kind of want to touch upon with the visuals, though, and I will still kind of put this out there, because I do think it is something that is noticeable. I have heard other people kind of bring it up in talking about this movie. And I do think that there are some moments of where the cinematography and the lighting in particular is a bit of a miss for me. I think there's some fantastic, like there's some incredible wide shots in this movie where you see a single character surrounded by flames that like I will remember, right? There is a fantastic shot that if you've watched the trailer for this movie, you see a kid in a black suit engulfed by a red light coming out of an elevator. And it is awesome. Like, it is so well shot. But there are definitely times, at least in the first half of this movie that you guys already brought up, that I wanted to see the action a little bit more. I completely understand the reason for the chaotic camera. Like when Kid is flipping around, like I'm imagining these people with the cameras are flipping at the same time and are falling to the ground right next to him. And it definitely adds to some of those elements that set this movie apart in its action. But I do think that there, you know, and maybe it was the screen we were watching on. Maybe it's a little bit dimmer. I went in while we were preparing for this review and I watched the trailer again on my computer just to see, like, am I crazy for this? And in the trailer, I actually think I could see the fight sequences, and you know, at least from the earlier part of the film, a little bit better. But I think it is something that might still distract for some people. And it, you know, I think it can be kind of difficult to figure out what's going on at times. But that said, I definitely think this movie, as far as the action that we do get, because you're right, Kevin, like I would have liked more, but I do think it rivals that of a John Wick, of a Jason Bourne even. And I think we talked about RRR on our way out of the theater. But I think there were more than enough times where I would have liked to have seen it a little bit clearer. And I think as much as that might be a nitpick, I think some people are definitely going to get distracted by it.
Absolutely. And I mean, you mentioned the cinematographer, and I wonder if that was sort of their call, or Dev as an inexperienced director being very ambitious and trying to do almost too much and not focusing on smaller details
right.
so that every one of those moments was captured. Who knows where that was maybe lost in translation a little bit in terms of getting up onto the screen, but... Yeah. If you want to talk about something that works in terms of the feel of the film, I think the music rocked. I love the music. There was one rap song, like an Indian rap song towards the beginning, and it was just like, holy shit, this thing slaps.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, I'll let you guys maybe dissect that a bit more. But for me, I am an incredible finger drummer. My wife loves my finger drumming,
okay.
even though I annoy a lot of people with it. I do it when I'm nervous. I do it when I'm bored.
Yeah.
But I'm really good. The finger drumming in this movie is perhaps some of the best percussion I've ever heard in my life. Like it was. They literally tell stories through finger drumming, and it is such a cool Mr. Miyagi moment.
True.
Yes, at one point, like there were such cool moments just using sound and percussion, like such a fun way to play with sound, I thought.
Yeah, I think Jed Kurzel, who did the compositions for this movie, like the drums and the at times heavy rock, it seems to always elevate with the action, right? And so it works for an action movie. It slows down when the tone calls for it. It you know, goes to those emotional places when it needs to. The hip hop, or I think there is even at one point that, let's just say, there is a metal track, and I know, Darcy, you couldn't quite place your finger on it. I don't know if you figured it out.
I know. No, I still can't think of it. I keep going back over my head. But yeah, it's, the music in this movie is great. And again, it serves so many purposes and lends itself to what scene it's in. Like whether it is for those the emotional hits or even just a comedic pop during a random scene or awkward moment in an elevator type thing. Like he knew what he was doing when he was telling the story through music as well. So again, it just works so well with the visuals you're seeing on screen. I loved it.
Well, you brought up comedic pop. Again, I think this movie is pretty dark overall, but there are some performances, there are some characters that I think kind of stand. I think this whole cast does a pretty great job. But I did want to bring up Pito Bash before we probably talk about Dev Patel. Like, I think Pito Bash plays Alfonso, who is this sort of, like, you could call him sort of like a frenemy. And so, like, he's the comedic relief in what is, again, like a really relatively dark story. But I think he's that kind of character that, like, you start off kind of being like, this guy's kind of annoying. And then, like, by the end of the movie, he kind of grows on you. And, like, there's even some sad elements to his story. And I think he for the most part, he does sort of serve as like a means to an end for Kid. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I enjoyed what he brought to this film.
After watching that trailer, I did not expect there to be as much levity at certain points of the film as there was. Like, and it was kind of nice. Like, it wasn't at all in any way, shape, or form a movie of a singular tone.
No.
Like, it was not just action, go, fight, kill, do the whole time. There was emotion. There was trauma. There was obviously ass-kicking action. But then there were like these really genuinely funny moments, which never felt out of place, really helped strengthen the characters. And as you mentioned, Pito Bash is amazing. And the whole time I'm watching this movie going, where the hell do I know this guy from? And so I had to IMDb after, obviously. And it's Million Dollar Arm.
Oh,
the
wow.
The John Hamm movie with where cricket players become baseball players, and he is fantastic in that. And so, you know, you never forget a face, right? But no, he's great. He stole so many scenes that he was in. He was like that Joe Pesci character almost in Goodfellas.
Yes.
Except you actually like him.
Yeah.
And in the end, you actually want to see him, like, you're like the whole movie. You're like, please be okay. Please be okay. And whether it ends up that way, like, you are rooting for the guy, even though he starts off as a bit of a slime ball. No, he's adorable and hilarious. Again, that was so unexpected for a movie like this, especially based on the trailer. And I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, I mean, Dev Patel, right, I think is probably the other person that we could highlight and really dig into. I think, you know, this is his directorial debut, and I think even for this, I would even say for this movie, he's to me, he's punching above his weight class. Like, I've always really enjoyed his performances, obviously Slumdog Millionaire, Lion, The Green Knight. And, you know, I think even The Green Knight, I think going back and looking back at that movie, I don't even know if I enjoyed that movie as much as I enjoyed him in that movie, right? And so here he's sharp, he's determined. He doesn't waver outside of some panic attacks that Kevin you brought up, and I think we'll bring up again when we talk about pacing of the movie. But Dev Patel is brilliant in this movie. Like, his character has just kind of pointed himself in this one direction, and he's gonna just keep going no matter what. And I think Dev just delivers wholeheartedly on this role.
Okay, I'm doing it again. And on the drive down, we said, how many times are we gonna bring up John Wick in this review?
Yes.
I'm going to put it out there. Keanu Reeves is not a good actor.
Okay.
Okay? He's just not. But
that's
you
fair.
Love him.
Yeah.
And you want to watch him. Dev Patel is a tremendous actor.
Yeah.
But what I did not think he could be is an action star.
Yeah.
And holy shit, is he ever an action star?
So good.
This is very much like Adrian Brody in Predator, where I'm like, how the hell is this guy going to be the new Arnold, the Arnold Schwarzenegger? And he's nowhere near as big and whatever. But like, when a guy believes that he's an action star, just like through and through, it can sometimes work. And like, he pulls it off, man. Like,
so good.
This guy who, like, I most fondly remember as basically like the social media intern on Newsroom.
Oh, wow.
The HBO show. Like, all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, this guy can kick some serious butt, yeah. man. Like, he is legit. Like, good on him.
Yeah.
Like, good on him. I totally bought it through and through, and I did not know how it was going
to
work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, he's a reason to watch this movie alone, because his performance of the journey that kid goes on, he does it so well, and you feel for him at every step along the way, because so much is coming through. He doesn't have to say a word, and you can already get, like, so much feeling from him just from the way he moves through a scene. And it's so powerful. It was such a great performance. And the fact that this is clearly a story he's been wanting to tell, or at least for a while or whatever, as he's exploring his heritage, because he didn't grow up in India, but his parents, he grew up in France or whatever. I'm not sure where he's from, but mm-hmm. again, having, like, learning about his culture and trying to express his love for where he came from, and just seeing that brought to life in this movie was so, so beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think, I also want to mention Charlton Copley, who, I don't know why I didn't realize it was Charlton Copley watching this movie.
Yeah, it's like, that was him? It's like, yes, man, that is undeniably him.
Mm-hmm. But he plays this character that, like, you just want to punch him through the screen. And so for that, I think he succeeds, for as little as we get of him.
We get a good amount. Like, any more might be too much, right? Because he's so over the top. He's so, like, he's just munching that scenery, but, like, in the best possible ways. Mm-hmm. And, like for that kind of character who's, like, a fight promoter, an in-ring scumbag, taking advantage of people to make, like, he's so good. He's so over the top in all the best ways.
Yeah.
He was a delight to see. And again, we got just the right amount of him, because too much and he might distract you from what's going on, because again, he's so loud. But what you get is exactly what you expect from him, because he always manages to play characters in that same vein where they're weird, slimy. You either like them or you don't like them. Like, you don't know how you feel about them.
Yeah.
And he's so good at doing that. Like, I'll never get tired of seeing him play one of these roars. Like, again, the last thing I could think of seeing him in was in Hardcore Henry. And he was very much a similar, like, loud in your face, telling you what to do and type thing. It's so good. So he was a delight to see in this one.
Excellent. Excellent. I think the only other thing I will say, Sobita Dhulipala, and I think a few other characters in this movie are very meant to, they're meant to show some of the darkest parts of this world, and I think that they succeed with that. However, I do think, and I might touch upon it a little bit later, I definitely feel like there was some stuff removed from this film that could have maybe highlighted some of the additional characters a little bit more. But I will get back to that. Let's kind of dig into the story and the pacing of this movie. I think, you know, you can look at this in two different lenses, right? Like, again, here, Kevin, I'll say John Wick this time. You know, we've gotten so many movies in the action genre that are of this archetype, right? Like, we've gotten, like, John Wick, Nobody, RRR, the Bourne films, like the revenge, starting at the bottom, working your way up, right? You're going to get vibes of Fight Club. You're going to get vibes of The Raid. There's even a bit of Unleashed in this as well. Shout out to Jet Li. But I think where this movie...
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, right? Nice. Listen, it's not like the best movie, but I actually really like Unleashed.
R.I.P. Bob Hoskins. Let's go.
But I do think that where this movie makes a really great effort to separate itself from a story perspective is the way it conveys messaging on religion and religion used within corrupt politics throughout India. It's painting some very clear comparisons to real world events, and it's drawing from them. And it's also drawing from Indian folklore with the story of the Monkey Man. And I think for the most part, it achieves what it's set out to do in order to set itself apart from those other films. I think it really does a good job of making sure that, hey, like, this movie isn't just all action. Like, we're also kind of pointing the mirror, if you will, back at the rest of the world to sort of say, like, this happens.
I mean, not only does it touch on, you know, the disparity in classes between rich and poor, religious corruption, it tries to tackle all of these things. It tries to tackle transgender issues, another very current event that's going on. Mm-hmm. I think the film might suffer a little from trying to do too much, to try and incorporate too many of these issues, but not spend enough time on any singular one.
That's fair, yeah.
Like, that was kind of my issue with the film, is that in order to try and separate it from comparable films and to be like, we are not just telling a straightforward revenge story, like, you killed my dog and now I'll kill you.
Right.
Like, it's trying to speak on so many issues, and I think that's terrific. And I think it does a good job of that in a lot of ways. But I do think that given the runtime and given what you want to see from a film like this, and given everything that's going on, it just sort of spreads itself a little thin and tries to focus on a bit too much and never really wholeheartedly gets to the bottom of any of those.
Yeah, there is a group of characters in the movie that are there later in the movie that I think I would have liked to have seen maybe explored a little bit further, right? And I think, you're completely making a lot of sense here. I think, you know, I was speaking with a colleague of ours, a press colleague of ours, shout out to Prabh, who mentioned that this particular group, and again, I obviously don't want to spoil anything, so I'm not even going to mention the group in particular, but this particular group is usually, you know, within at least maybe older Indian cinema or most other Indian cinema, apparently they are more the butt of the joke. And so to see them represented the way they were in this movie was refreshing and really was something different, and you know, can be very rewarding for maybe that particular group if they happen to be watching this film. But I think that
Vipin Sharma is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible.
Yeah. But without spoiling anything, let's just say a moment happens that is so much more distracting than it is rewarding because there's not the enough setup for it. And this is exactly what you're saying, Kevin, is that they're you know, maybe they're spending a little bit too much time on one element, all the various elements, than spending enough time on maybe this one element, where it feels like some stuff was removed from this movie. Stuff had to have been taken out. And the only thing that was sort of distracting me in a moment that should have been a fist pump, hell yeah moment was, well, where did that come from? And that's
the one we were talking about on the drive home, right? Yeah. And it was like, I would have loved it if it had been set up in any way, shape, or form going into that.
And it's tough to talk about, obviously, without spoilers. I think when you watch the movie, I think it will sort of come across, and hopefully you'll kind of understand what we're talking about. Or you can message us on the various ways that we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. But yeah, I think those were some of the issues. I've got some issues with pacing that you brought up earlier, Kevin. But Darcy, I wanted to kind of have you chime in, because I don't know if we've been talking a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of disagree with you guys, because I think I there was a certain scene in the movie that came beforehand. Mm-hmm. Well, I do feel that may stuff is definitely removed and probably would have built upon that. Just the almost one of the first interactions that leads to the path that this group goes on.
Yeah,
kind of go. It's called back to in a way that I thought was very interesting. I did enjoy it. The pacing, though, is, I do agree there were issues with it. That's probably the only thing I have I find fault with in this film, because everything was done so well, mm-hmm. that when the pacing kind of slows down and chugs a little, it's very noticeable and almost jarring.
Yeah, there is a momentum that this movie sort of kicks off with, and then it just goes to a crawl way too many times. And Kevin, I mean, you brought this up earlier, but like, kid's backstory, you know, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that you're going to learn about his motivations. But the problem is that, like, learning motivations is one thing. Being sort of beat over the head, like kid is in this movie at times, with those motivations. I understand that you're trying to show the PTSD that this character is going through, that you're trying to draw the comparisons between the dark, seedy underworld that he's found himself in and how it so directly ties back to where he's, you know, sort of where he's coming from. But at the same time, you know, I think, Kevin, you said it, you know, three times we get it. Five times, six times, it's like, well, this could have, this time could have been used for maybe other things.
And I understand the intention was to be like, we get a snippet of it, then we get to see a bit more of those events,
right?
And then we see a bit more and who else is involved. And it's like, if you had done that however many times, three times, and it was a little snippet at the beginning, a little bit in the middle, and then the rest of it
big
right
reveal
at the end before,
yeah,
you know, and it was like, okay, let's go. But yeah, every time you feel like, oh, this thing's really getting into gear now, here we go, they slow down with it. And those were the most artistic feeling parts of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like Dev wanted to be like, see, I'm elevating this kind of movie. I'm making it so much more than it typically is. And it's like, well, sometimes you don't need that, especially if it detracts from what the essence of the film really is. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just a little less of that and a little bit more butt kicking.
Sure.
Works in the film's favor, I think, by the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, to your point, I think action scenes could have been filled in with some of that time. And again, I do think, like we've been talking about, there are additional characters or additional elements to the plot that I think they could have even dedicated a little more time to those areas. And again, I
think the film, right? And characters would have benefited from time spent on those elements,
yeah,
rather than, you know, again, the justification for everything,
right,
going on.
Right. But that's kind of where we're at here. I'd love to get to kind of our overall thoughts and final score for this directorial debut. And we're going to be rating it on a scale of 1 to 5 bloody animal masks. And Kevin, I'm going to get you to kick us off. Kick us off like a kangaroo.
Oh. Or like a single kick to knock the opponent out.
Yikes.
Shockingly.
Yikes.
For a lot of money. I think as a debut for, as we've mentioned, a very talented actor, to step into this realm that he's not at all associated with or known for, I think this is an incredible debut. I think it's almost like, wow, Dev, like I'm picturing you in the Oscar hunt every year with a terrific performance, but like, man, this is a sweet side gig for you. You might have a real shot in this action world. And like, and I think what was attempted here to tell a different kind of story that we're all so used to, and it's almost overdone, to tell something so different, it's like, I want to see more, man. I want to see what other stories you have.
Yeah.
I do think my main issue, as I was just saying, is it's almost like they tried to bite off more than they could chew here. They tried to incorporate too many storytelling elements or too many aspects, maybe too many different character arcs that didn't quite get fulfilled. But at the end of the day, if you're looking for this kind of action movie with the kind of vengeance and revenge element, it really does deliver on that. At the end of the day, this is a really, really solid action movie. And what elevates it above some comparable films is incredible performances, mm-hmm, that like they and we wanted to see more from a lot of these side characters, and even from our own main character in the kid. I think we got a little distracted here and there. We tried to do too much, but at the end of the day, a really solid action film with an important story was told. I just think it was almost like Dev thought this was a bigger movie or story than was actually being told. Mm. And if he had just stuck to the heart of the story,
mm-hmm,
it probably would have been a bit more successful in that. That being said, I really, really enjoyed this. It took me a little while to sort of digest and go over the elements. But when you think about performance, you think about music and the way that was incorporated into terrific action. And I think right at the top of the show, we mentioned how he literally captures three different filmmaking styles throughout the film,
yeah,
and does well in each of those. It's like, shit, this guy's got potential. I can't wait to see what he does next because of that. Because this is a debut and it was as successful as it was, I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 bloody animal masks.
Okay. All righty. Darcy.
Yeah, again, I really love this film. The way that it's telling, again, it's doing its own spin on this one-man army genre where it's the story of vengeance and everything like that. And the way that they, again, it's really inspired by like Bollywood-style storytelling where they do blend all these genres and styles into one film to tell us a more unique story and very engaging story as a result. The choreography in this movie is incredible, and the way that they use, again, the visual storytelling that happens through the way that it's shot at the beginning and then the way that you see it at the end and how it becomes more polished as you go through this journey, I really enjoyed that. So, again, the only thing I had a problem with was the pacing. Again, those moments where we do go back to the past a bit too much, right when it's getting good, like we're saying, they kind of pumps the brakes a bit and slows it down, and then you get ramped back up. It's almost like edging. It's like an edging of movies, basically, where they're you're wanting it to get to that end there, and they're just like, wait, hold on, where you're going to go back to the past, we're going to show you something else.
Yeah.
And other than that, I loved it. Dev Patel is a great. And again, like Kevin said, I can't wait to see what else he does, because it seems like he can do anything after this film with the way that he's captured so many genres and managed to pull them off in a really good way. So I'll be giving this one 4.5 out of 5 bloody animal masks.
Very nice. Yeah, I think this is a pretty standout action movie and a great, great directorial debut for one of my favorite actors, Dev Patel. Like, I think he had a vision for this movie, and for the most part, he executes it at a really high level. And, you know, writing perspective, you know, bringing in real world influences to, as I said, kind of turn a mirror back outward of what's going on, what's gone on, and what continues to go on, you know, within parts of India. It's, you know, we see some really dark stuff, and this action movie isn't just an action movie, right? But we do get to watch this character who's fueled by revenge, and there's such a sharp through line. The pacing issues, like we mentioned, I think for me, again, this, some of the cinematography and lighting issues aside, I think the blend of storytelling, action, music, and I think the heart that you can feel, like this, everyone in this cast and everyone in this movie had in making it, I think just gives you something that you really got to check out go see it in theaters, go see it on a big screen. I think it makes for a great movie night out, great date night movie for sure.
I was literally going to say except for a date movie.
I don't know. Like, here's the thing. Listen, obviously, you know, watch the trailer, make sure that both members of your party are willing to kind of get into some of the darker tones and aspects of the movie. But I think overall, again, like you said, Kevin, if you want to go see an action movie, this is an action movie, to see. So yeah, it's not perfect. It's messy. It's chaotic at times, but you know, that's like Kid himself, in the film. So overall, I'm going to give Monkey Man a solid 4 out of 5 bloody animal masks. But that is it for this review of Monkey Man. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you like to listen to podcasts, if you haven't already. And if you want to write into the show with your thoughts on this movie or any of the shows or movies we cover, well, let me just get Darcy to put his donkey mask on so he can let you know how you can reach us.
Again with the donkey. Well, they can reach us at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or if that's too much, like getting punched in the face for the umpteenth time tonight, you can reach us on Instagram at wearegeekcentric or on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, geekcentricyt.
There we go. Sorry, I guess you couldn't focus through your mask, right?
There's very small holes.
The eye holes on the donkey mask are pretty small, yeah. Keep in mind, we have a ton of other great episodes covering the latest in movies, TV shows, including our recent spoiler-filled discussion on Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and our spoiler-free reviews for Three Body Problem, X-Men 97, Invincible Season 2 Part 2, Kung Fu Panda 4, Extraordinary Season 2, and Dune Part 2. Plus, we have a special This Week in Geek episode that we put out recently where Kevin walked us through the latest and greatest trailers. There are so many trailers that sort of came out in like the span of like 3 days, and they're still keeping popping out trailers, new trailers all the time. But I think that episode was a really fun sort of look ahead at some of the stuff that we are very hyped for what's to come in the coming months. We also have some great interviews out now, like our most recent interview with executive producer of the Apple original series Sugar, Simon Kinberg. Justin sat down with this fantastic director to discuss the series, and how it pays homage to the classic film noir genre while giving audiences something fresh. And, you know, Simon kind of self-proclaims himself as a geek during the interview. And so Justin got a question about X-Men. And we, you know, Simon kind of shares what he wants to see next for the X-Men, having previously written and directed.
Super cool.
Yeah, it was I was like, oh, that's dope. That's so cool. So go check out that interview, as well as all of our interviews, both here on your podcast service of choice or over on YouTube at youtube.com/geekcentric. Subscribe, leave a review. It does help us so much. We've got a ton of really great stuff coming at you all this month and all of 2024. So yeah, just subscribe so you can, you know, you can follow us as we cover all things geek centric. Kevin, Darcy, thank you so much for joining me for this bloody spoiler-free review. And as we say, love ya.
Laters.
Get home safe, monkeys.